This is URN.
The Film Show Breakdown.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to The Film Show. It is our third from last episode, and today we're just going to relax a little bit. And we're just going to have a conversation. Steered and prompted, but a conversation nonetheless for the most part. And we're going to recap the year. Who is joining me for this? We'll start with Ben.
Hey, what's up?
Isaac.
Good afternoon.
Joseph.
Hello.
And Lizzie.
Hi.
So I guess my first question, guys, is how are you?
Not too bad.
All right.
Not too bad.
Our first section is just going to be literally about the episodes that we've done. I have a few prompts, but it might end up being a bit more free-flowing. That's fine. We don't really want to stress a conversation too much. So quite a general question to start off with. Are you guys happy with the topics that we've done this year?
Yeah.
I
think so, really.
We've done the best in difficult circumstances, I think.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think the last few weeks has been tricky, sort of like trying to find stuff to do because we've had to sort of shift from the normal format we've been used to before. So we've delved into some quite interesting subjects and been more opinion based and you know what I think the show is all about, which is recommending stuff for people to watch. So I think we've succeeded quite well.
As we've like approached the end, we've definitely been recommending more stuff as well, which is very good.
Yeah, I think that's what we're here to do, aren't we? We're not like the most expert of people, but you know, Isaac, we know what's
took
worth.
Offense to
I'm not a joke. I'm not an expert, Jake.
So I want to play. I've been doing this for like 3 years now, since like 2017. Lizzie, you've been doing it longer, I believe, right?
No, I think I've been doing it since 2017 as well. I think I started the same year as you. I think. At this point, who knows? I think 2017.
If you know what the first film I reviewed is, don't say anything, Lizzie, because I'm going to put an audio clip in now of my my first appearance on the film show back in October of 2017. And I'll see if you guys can guess what I'm talking about. Hopefully this works.
Oh, I already know.
Have a listen. And I'll play at the same time.
Lots of questions like that.
It makes a point to show us, and this contributed to the length of the film, and in retrospect is so important. It showed us his isolation and the way other people treated him.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I think one of the biggest points I want to make about the pacing of the film is I think it did a better job than the original in handling its running time and building suspense.
Yeah, I definitely get that as well. Actually, I think.
All right, I've done listening. It's very interesting to listen back on.
Yeah.
So do you guys know what I was talking about there?
I think I do.
Yeah, I can't. I tell. It's a sequel.
Yeah.
I don't know what of.
Joseph, do you want to say what it is?
Is it Blade Runner 2049?
It is Blade Runner 2049.
Ah, that makes sense.
Damn it, fair enough.
What would you have guessed, Ben?
What?
What would you have guessed?
I knew it was a sequel, but I should have probably known it was that. But yeah, that makes sense now.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have guessed it from that clip though.
I think it's. Why do I sound different?
Your voice is deeper.
Yeah.
Your voice is like this.
This is my fake radio voice.
Sure, the boring.
I do think presenting voices and normal voices are different though.
I don't even realise I'm doing it. And I think I was very nervous then. I believe that was the head of speech, Harry, I was talking to.
Yeah, I thought that might be Harry.
I believe it was Harry, yeah. What do you guys think of Blade Runner 2049? We've talked about it a fair amount, I believe.
I think we have, yeah.
It's sort of poetic almost. We keep coming back to it.
I think I admire it more than I like love it. Like if you put it on, I would have no problem. But I prefer the original for very more personal reasons and personal preferences. But like I think for a film to be one that long and to be packed with ideas and to have that big of a budget and big enough of a cast and crew, like, I'm kind of glad it exists, because we don't get science fiction like that often, especially in the mainstream, to have like a blockbuster budget for something that is essentially like almost like, you know, like a science fiction art house film in areas, yeah, with even some sort of Tarkovsky-esque moments, like something like Stalker. Like, it's quite admirable, but again, it's not my, I prefer the original for more personal reasons.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I just, I love the 2 years there between La La Land and First Man. I find that interesting.
Do you guys remember what the first film we talked about was?
First one I did was A Star Is Born.
Was it?
It was the first part of the rundown of the Best Picture nominees for 2018.
No, yeah, I roped you into this, Joseph.
So yeah. Isaac came on first in like when Lizzie was hosting, I believe.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, I was hosting at the.
I thought Joseph came on before that.
Nah, that was my first show.
And has your opinion on A Star Is Born changed?
No, I love it. I think it's great. But I had seen it like 3 or 4 months before that I did that show. Because, and I had to, we're reviewing quite a few films. I think we reviewed 4 films then, which we don't really do anymore. We normally do 3 per show. So it was a bit different that. And by the time, it was one of those weird shows, right? Which I thought it was going to be sort of every week. So we started off with 4 of us. And then by the end of it, by the time I think we were reviewing Black Panther towards the end, that's like 7 people in the studio. Like, what is going on? This is what happens. We just draw people into the office. Like, oh, we've seen this. Okay, everyone come in. It was mad.
We do vary a lot. I would have liked to have about 7 people on every week. That would have been interesting. Do you remember what your first show was, Lizzie?
I was just thinking that. I think the first film we did, I think me, was Baby Driver, because we were doing it as like a DVD release and I'd seen it and I wanted to come on the show and I hadn't seen the one, the new release, and they said, oh, okay, what have you seen recently? And I said Baby Driver, and Francis said, cool, we'll do that then. I think it was Baby Driver that was my first one.
Towards the end of 2017.
Yeah, I think I came in about November 2017. I think I was just about a month behind you.
So, I haven't asked Ben. Sorry, Ben.
It's fine.
I think I know what your first episode was. It was, hold on, suspense. That.
It was that, but I don't remember what I reviewed. I feel like I want to say it was the King and Shawshank Redemption.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
I think if we did what was it? What's it called? Between Two Ferns, and then we did a quiz.
Yeah. And who won
the
quiz?
The quiz was the best one.
Who won that quiz?
Yeah, because it was like a try episode where we just had a random show, not particularly structured or anything.
How bad do I look not remembering my first show, even though it was just last year?
And you stuck
around. I really love it here, guys. Nothing personal.
Thank you for sticking around, Ben. Oh, someone showed up to the studio for that and then just walked out before we even began.
Oh, yeah, for that.
And of course, Rue joined us then as well, who unfortunately hasn't been able to make it on for these episodes.
Yeah, she was supposed to come on for one of the shows and then she said that she got an emergency, so she just ran off and then hasn't been seen since.
Yeah, she had like an architecture emergency.
Yeah. So that's lasted for 6 months. That one emergency.
Maybe she's doing a building. I don't know. What's an architecture?
We hope she's doing well.
It's a long course, to be fair.
Yeah, it's like 7 years, isn't it?
Oh, mate.
Did you say 7 years?
Yeah, 7 years. I did my first year, and you were an architect student, and they said it's 7 years.
I've done 3, and I've, you know, got out the white flag.
Four years, and I'm done. How are you holding up, Lizzie?
I'm all right. What am I on, year 6 now? I'm doing okay.
Notification sound incoming.
Oh.
What Ben just mentioned. A Tale of Two Kings.
That was a painful show.
That was this is my favourite show. This is my favourite.
This is one of my favourite shows because I think Joseph and I absolutely lost it over the king.
Yeah,
that's the thing. The most fun I've had is either two extremes. Either movies I absolutely love or movies I absolutely dislike. That's kind of how it works.
Because the thing was, right, and we haven't had this experience recently because we've been recording our shows remotely around lunchtime, early afternoons. So what we had before was when we used to record in the evenings, I'd used to watch the films before we did the show. So early afternoon, we'd watch the film. And this film was like 2.5 hours, really, really long, really, really boring. And I was just so fed up by the time that it got to the show. So like, people were asking questions, like, I don't care.
It such a good episode. This is my favourite episode. I think that I have audio evidence of. We have had a lot of technical difficulties. You can sort of hear it in these clips as well when we're in the
I'm
talk room.
I'm not listening to that.
If you guys who wants to listen to it, I'm going to play it now as well. This is a clip from A Tale of Two Kings. I'm going to start now.
Is he supposed to be like cool? Are we supposed to like? He's supposed to be likable.
I think he's an anti-hero.
Is he inspirational? I don't get
He's kind of. So like, Hal is kind of meant to
be. Is he?
Oh,
is he the big dog? Okay. So this is because there's a scene where someone approaches an army. This is why Jamie's written "big dog" at me on a piece of paper. Someone approaches an army trying to challenge Hal, and his brother replies to him, and Percy Hotspur, sorry, who's approaching the army, and he says, "Why is the small dog yapping? Where is the big dog?" And on "where is the big dog?" you expect a very huge, athletic
dog,
or at least qualified. An experienced military man, and out pops tiny like Timothée Chalamet, and it's the tiny funniest thing I've seen.
It's in a bizarre. Good time.
It's bizarre.
I love that. That's so funny. Yeah,
that was fun. I remember one of my favorites is when Joe and Lizzie were going back and forth on Jojo Rabbit. I found that amusing. It's interesting when you put two people who genuinely believe that they're right, but they're like, no, it was really good. No, it was really bad.
I don't think it's really bad. I still stand by that. I get why people like it. I just think there's a line that can be drawn, sort of like things you can make fun of and things you can't. Or things that I'm comfortable watching in a comedic setting. Than others, it's just opinions, isn't it? And it's always a film that when people talk about, it's like I always say, I want you to watch it. I want your feedback on it because I want to see if like I'm just completely out there. There's a reason why you look at the reviews on that, and you look at every major critic in this country. Pete Bradshaw, Guy Lodge, Mark Kermode, Robbie Collin, all gave it 1 star. There's a reason for that.
Do you remember what...
But there's also a reason why it won the Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay and did very well with audiences.
Do you remember what your favourite show was, Joseph?
My favourite show? That's a difficult one. I like the show that we did recently where we did did all the Best Picture winners from the last decade.
My
specialist subject.
That's fun.
In terms of, because I'd seen them all before, and I could rewatch some of the ones that I really like, and I really like most of those films, apart from one. I think we all know which one that is.
And
sort of like giving recommendations for stuff that wasn't nominated, saying about stuff that should have won or whatever. I think those kind of stuff is what I'm into. So.
I think the Best of the Decade episode was one of my favorites because again, I got to talk about a bunch of films that are. I hadn't seen them, you know, that I loved.
Well, I didn't get to talk about, like, because you know, we've only been on the show for a couple of years, and so we haven't been able to talk about every film, because of the way that it's structured, we tend to talk about new releases and classics. So ones that are recent classics or come out in the last 10 years that we might have seen, like, a few years ago, we didn't get to talk about in depth, so I think that was a good chance to talk about some of our favourite films.
Remind me, which one was your least favourite of the top 10?
Of the Best Picture winners?
Yeah, I should know.
Green Book.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which we did review at the time. I remember we had Francis was on, and what's his face, Martin as well. we were reviewing that, and yeah, it was one at the time where, because when we reviewed it, we didn't think it had much of a chance for Best Picture. There was always a chance because it had won PGA, but it wasn't a favourite by any mean. No one was thinking, no one was going into the night saying, oh, Green Book's going to win.
I didn't even think of it as having a chance. But we did talk about the Oscar voting system quite a lot, so we should have seen it coming.
But then again,
that is good,
it's completely different to how the voting happened this year with Parasite winning. So it's sort of like you can't, on the one hand, say, oh, the Academy's lost in the dark ages because it went and voted for Green Book over something like Roma or Black Klansman or The Favourite. And then on the other hand, say, oh, it's really good and progressive and appreciative of foreign cinema because Parasite won. Sort of like, you can't have it both ways.
What was the kind of campaign stuff around Parasite this year? Because I remember June Ho going around a lot saying it was very local, and I think they didn't like that a lot. It makes me wonder what the wider campaign was like and whether it almost successfully gilded them into getting it to win in a way. I wouldn't laugh if that was the case, honestly. I'm glad it has won.
It's interesting about the Oscars, because I remember once I was watching an interview with Ethan Hawke. And I think it was one of those like going through careers sort of videos. Who does it? Vanity Fair or GQ? And he was saying, he was talking about when he worked on the film, was it Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, the last Sidney Lumet film. And he was saying, he was talking to him on a plane saying, the Mets was saying like, oh, if I die, you know, like they'll give the Oscar to me because the Oscars, all they love is a narrative. And I think that's a really interesting way of thinking about it. Because even for films that I'm happy won, like very happy, like for example, Parasite, there's a sort of narrative to why it won, and you know, whether that's a good thing or bad thing, you know, it's up for debate. But like the way, you know, kind of the road, the destination and the journey of how something gets to like be Best Picture or something, it's like, I don't know. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I get that. It almost plays out because I think they definitely try to focus on the telecast as a whole and how to make it almost like a one-off television show, and how to make it fit a narrative that is interesting, and makes people sort of want to come back for it more next year or something, as opposed to actually awarding the best picture. I can see that.
Who doesn't have the phone on silent?
Who's pinging?
Yeah, I keep on hearing pinging as well.
I've been in the cinema.
cinema sense is invading. We almost die.
just in case I end up
fate worse than death.
We've had some broadcast issues, so this might not end up airing. But just in case we do, we're gonna call the break here, and then after the break, we're gonna continue talking about the Oscars episodes. And welcome back. we were just talking about the Oscars and the episodes we've done on them. I really like this format that we ended up doing, where we split it across multiple episodes.
Yeah, because there was always a worry when we saw the nominations released, because the previous year there was 8 nominations, so we could split it into 2 different episodes for reviewing the Best Picture nominees and then 1 episode for the review. And then when there was 9, it was sort of like, oh, how are we going to do this? But we ended up putting it into 3, and that worked really well because we set them into like themes of the 3, and ones that have been released earlier in the year that we could catch up on DVD. There's ones that were released early January that were still playing in cinemas, and ones that had yet to be released. I think Parasite was released like 2 days before the Oscars decided. So I saw it on the afternoon of the show. We can do that evening. So I think that worked quite well.
Do you have like a particular episode that you remember as being pretty good when we actually talked about the Oscars?
We've talked about
the one we had like 7 people on. That was last year.
Yeah.
For good. Black Panther. There was the heated debate with Jojo Rabbit. I'm trying to think, really. It's difficult.
I think for the Oscar episodes, I think that, you know, Jojo Rabbit, Little Women, and 1917 was my favorite, because, you know, with Jojo Rabbit, you got the heated discussion, which, you know, is always interesting. Then you got Little Women, which I was always very happy to talk about. And then you had 1917, which I was happy because that was Joseph's favourite film, and see him so, you know, passionate about a film always puts a smile on my face.
Yeah, especially as I wasn't a massive fan of the other two, rather.
Yeah. Like a pure historical episode as
well. I think it gave an opportunity for everyone to talk about a film that they're passionate about.
I think that was interesting as well in terms of the films, because they were all historical films, but they all had very different approaches. I mean, to be honest, I'm sorry, I've still not seen 1917. It's on my to-do list in this lockdown. And that was all this kind of like, you know, looks like one take, this like very specific style of filmmaking. It had something like Little Women, which you could argue was kind of like meant to look more like traditional period drama, but then it was doing new things with the genre, and I thought that was really interesting. And then as well, Jojo Rabbit is taking something that's very serious and using comedy to kind of contrast and recontextualize that seriousness and to present kind of the creation of hate in a kind of new context for us all. I think it was really interesting actually that episode, yeah, it was historical films, but they all did it in a very interesting and different and unique way. So I think that's why that worked so well as well, really.
I was just wondering where the... Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? I was just wondering where the episode for Joker and Joker, Parasite and Ford versus Ferrari was. Then I remembered...
Yeah,
we missed that episode. I was wondering why the preview for it.
No, we didn't.
Well, we did it.
I missed it,
but we didn't. Yeah, we didn't record it. That was a case of improvisation on the spot. We tried our best. It didn't go the best way that it could have possibly done.
So that's when we.
But it was a new experience for me for sure, because I hadn't hosted a show before, and to do that on the spot, sort of like, and I was happy to do the following episode as well. So sort of like I could do it as I would have intended.
That's when I deliberately missed an episode. How did you find? Well, that's a weird way to phrase it. Sorry, it's where I had to miss an episode because I went back home. How did you find hosting, Joseph?
I liked it. Yeah, it was a very different experience. I didn't enjoy it that much for the first episode because I wasn't sort of like I wasn't really sure what to do in terms of technology and stuff. So we did like an hour long episode just straight reviewing the films. Frankly, I'd seen all three of the films. I think Isaac had seen two of them, so it was helpful in that respect. But I enjoyed doing the second episode because I'd fully prepared for that one. We did a show on A24, and because it had just been the Independent Spirit Awards, we could do a good comparison between the way that they work and the Oscars work. And then we went through all the winners of the Oscars as well. We had more people on for that show as well, so that was that worked quite well. But it's a different experience for sure, but it's something I'd be happy to do again.
And Lizzie, you used to host the show, of course.
I did, yeah.
How did you find it?
I think it's good. I think you, when you do the kind of hosting, once you get used to the technology, I think that's fine. You still have saps. I remember hosting one where we were talking about Rocket Man and a couple of other things and a few Elton John songs lined up and none of them would play at all. So we just kind of...
It was the thing with that episode was it was the day of the Euro boat party, so it was the only time there was absolutely no one in the studio, no one there, and there was like this big technology crisis where the whole of the network was down.
Yeah, from like the
radio station
having a show on Friday evening.
Yeah, so literally all we could do was broadcast. That was literally the only thing we could work out how to do.
It really was,
We had to test it loads of times.
We just had to talk for an hour, which just without the music breaks was quite hard, and a shame actually as well because we've got some really good Elton John tracks lined up. I think that was definitely a think on your feet moment.
The most frustrating part about hosting can often be the technical issues, and I think in the moment there's not much you can really do about it, but just power through. But we've had some. I remember a show I was on where this was when I wasn't a host, and the person who was hosting, I think it might have been Francis or someone who was filling in, but they just double backed a couple of songs because we were just having so many issues, and it ended up just being really laid back.
I think I remember that show.
You just have to make the most out of it. But obviously, hosting as well can be quite fun. It's a shame there wasn't more. I didn't create more opportunities for you guys to have a go at hosting.
No, that's all right.
What would you guys have liked to have hosted a show on if you could have done? Would you have chosen like a specialist topic for yourself?
I was happy with the show that I hosted, the Oscars review show, because I could just have a list in front of me. So it's sort of like, so I could just read out the winner and then we could just talk for a couple of minutes about that. So it's fully structured. Anyone else?
Yeah, there's a few episodes that I've always wanted to do and I never got the chance to, whether it be, you know, lack of interest or, like, for example, I really always wanted to do, what was it? What episodes have I always wanted to do? I wanted to do a Neil Breen special.
Yeah.
A Free Breen Salad special. And like that was just near impossible. That was impossible to do. And there was also like the big what's the phrase? The big whale was to do to review all three of the new Star Wars films back to back and like debate them. And that was like I was so. But I was just off, you know. I was just so downtrodden with all the whole fandom. I just gave up. I'm like, no, I'm just. Enough of this. I don't want to exactly quote, Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon, but I think you know the line. It's too old for this, you know.
We had a heated Last Jedi episode.
Did we do Last Jedi? Or was it just me and who was it again?
Or was it were you guys not on?
I was not there. If you guys had reviewed it initially,
was that 2017?
Yeah, I would have never been on.
We had a Last Jedi episode and. So this is not a Last Jedi episode.
No, it's not. We'll never do that.
I did watch episode 9, I think I told you guys, a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, did you?
Yeah, it's all right. It's fine. It's
I really liked it, but I think I'm like in the vocal minority there.
It felt like a lot of movies. I tell you what it felt like. It felt like J.J. Abrams did his 8th movie and his 9th movie at the same time.
I can see that.
There was a lot going on. Ben?
Yeah.
What topic do you think we missed out on? What show would you have liked to have done?
I'd probably like to do a black and white film episode. So looking at recent black and white films, such as Ida, Cold War, Blue Jay, which Joe recommended to me, which I now really, really love. So I wanted to do an episode like that where we just look at, you know, most of them tend to be independent films, but black and white films, recent black and white films would have been fun. I also really would have liked to do a foreign film episode where we look at different waves of foreign films. So probably looking at like Italian neorealism and French New Wave, and also looking at sort of Polish cinema as well, and just comparing which of those periods had the best sort of films that, you know, which a lot of people sort of think Bicycle Thieves, for instance, is one of the greatest films of all time, if not the greatest film. So putting that against a film putting that against a Truffaut film, for instance, from French New Wave, and like just comparing all of those would have been my cup of tea, I guess.
The current state of Hollywood film, of foreign films in Hollywood is now. Where do you think it sits now in terms of like the general public's view of foreign films?
I think it's getting better in the sense that I think more people are inclined towards, especially now that they're getting more recognition by the Oscars, and you know they're now, you know, more often than not getting nominated for Best Picture. That encourages people to see more of it. So I think you can definitely see, and also just, I know A24 have embarked on a couple of projects which they've done as co-productions with an international company in producing a film. You think of The Farewell, for instance. And you think of what Neon is doing as well, which is an American company, but, you know, making, or at least distributing a lot of foreign films into the States and into the UK and into other English speaking countries as well. So, I think it's moving in the right direction.
I'd say the next step is make it less reliant on known names to sell a film. So if Roma didn't have Alfonso Cuarón attached to it, or if Parasite didn't have Bong Joon-ho attached to it, but people that not are household names but are recognized names in the industry that would be easier to sort of finance for the bigger studios. And I think that's probably the next step.
Just more of an industry thing in general. There has to be attached names to it.
Yeah, but sometimes you do have the odd independent films that do come out which have no names to them whatsoever. And
I think it depends
massively well.
For some countries, a lot, like France, for instance, tends to finance projects as opposed to private companies. So that sort of levels the. France has the highest number of female filmmakers for a reason, because they judge you mainly just based on how good your script is. So yeah. There's no prejudice, and there's no sort of there's no pandering towards private companies to get your film financed, and that's the same for a lot of European countries as well. When it comes to making independent films, they tend to be sponsored by the government, which is great. So it means that unlike independent films in the States that could be relying on bigger names or could be relying on people that have made films before, what I find is with foreign countries, they tend to be a lot more open towards funding a first-time filmmaker or giving a chance to someone who's not done anything in the past. So I think in that way it's gotten better as well. I like the way foreign films are looking right now.
Are there any opinions you guys want to retroactively change of past shows that we've done? Is there anything you want to correct? Anything that comes to mind?
There's some shows that I've had to be more devil's advocate about than necessary. So, like, when we did The Favourite, I think I like it more in retrospect than I did like at the time. I had to be sort of like devil's advocate about it because of something that's got a lot of... Not The Favourite, sorry, The Farewell, I meant, sorry, my bad. The Farewell, I had to be sort of like, that's a film that I like a lot more in retrospect than at the time. The same with Rocket Man. I think I was more critical than I would have been in retrospect, just because of sort of like the inconsistencies of it. So like when I think back on it and you think of specific scenes, like the specific Rocket Man scene where they play the song, I think is near flawless. But because of the inconsistencies with that, you sort of, with the film as a whole, sort of like going into the show, you've got to point out this, 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 and this, when really you think quite positively about it overall.
Did I properly get a chance to talk about Rocket Man?
I don't think you were on with us, no. So no.
I would say...
That's a shame. One opinion, I liked Rocket Man.
I'd say one opinion... that's changed, not like significantly but moderately. It's like the last show we did before lockdown was Portrait of a Lady on Fire, and I was very, very positive about that film, and I think a lot of us are as well. But I think maybe I'm saying this with rose-tinted glasses because it was, again, the last film I saw in cinemas before they all closed. Like, I do feel, and I only say this for about a film, you know, once every few years, but I think that film now is, like, a masterpiece. Like, I actually think it's perfect. If I would feel comfortable giving it a 10 out of 10.
Portrait of a Lady on Fire, is that?
Yeah, I would give it, well, initially, if I was to give it, like, a numerical rating, it'd be, like, a 9 out of 10, but now I feel comfortable giving it a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I can't think of anything wrong with it. So.
No, that's what I mean. I think it's like one of the best films, like, I wouldn't even say of like 2019, the 2010s, the since 2000. Like,
yeah, just ever. Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, when I went to the cinema with my mate, like I said, it's like, this is like, maybe this is up there with like the great romances in cinema, like up there with Casablanca, up there with In the Mood for Love, up there with Brief Encounter. Like, really, I do genuinely mean that. Like it is like really, really, I think it is like one of the best films, like, you know, of recent memory.
I wanted to ask you guys, Joseph, were you on for this show? If you only joined when we did the, I just put out a picture of, it's three images for the preview, Stan and Ollie, Aquaman and Old Boy.
I wasn't on for the show, but I have seen Stan and Ollie.
Because, fun fact, we didn't talk about Stan and Ollie on this show.
I was thinking, hold on, I was thinking, I remember asking you about Aquaman, because I hadn't seen it, and then we both like really, really were happy we're talking about Old Boy. But I was like, Stan and Laurie, was I late? Did I miss it? You know.
Here's your chance to retroactively review Stan and Ollie.
The thing was, I saw that on DVD, like after it came out. I wasn't a big fan at all. Because I feel like it just fits into every single period, modern British period drama of just being looking a certain way and sort of like it follows the narrative structure of the same sort of things. I was left underwhelmed, to be honest.
The thing I remember most about that film isn't even the film, but I just remember everyone saying that both John C. Reilly and Steve Coogan had norbited their chances at award shows because like they were getting all these like positive reviews for their acting, and like, you know, I think both of them did get nominated, like I think Reilly for the Golden Globes and Coogan for the BAFTAs, but then everyone said that because they were both in Holmes and Watson with Will Ferrell, like they norbited their chances.
I don't think that's true. They weren't in with a chance.
I know, but it was just funny that they
but it is classic BAFTA bait. If there is ever such a thing,
it is
because it looks so similar to everything else, so nothing surprises you. And there are films that have done that sort of look better, like Me and Orson Welles or Florence Foster Jenkins, stuff like that. Just done it better, and you're sort of left underwhelmed because sort of like if you're watching it, you sort of know about Laurel and Hardy already, but you know them as like as movie stars, as film stars, and you don't see that in the film at all. It's barely touched upon. Like, it's at the start of sort of like, okay, we're in for something here. You see them on set, you see them doing their stuff, you want to see them sort of in their prime, and sort of like the rest of it you just have to sort of assume all of that afterwards, because it's just sort of like downbeat and sort of like no sorrow. But I do think the ending is phenomenal. That's one positive I'll go about it.
I didn't get a chance to see it, but I must say Aquaman is really quite forgettable.
Really? Even people who dislike it say it's not forgettable.
I enjoyed it. Oh, I guess the most memorable things about it are... the memorable things definitely stand out as being a bit odd, but it's enjoyable.
Drummer Jamie, how can you not enjoy it?
I definitely do enjoy it. I just put a picture in now in the group chat of when we did the IMDb episode where we reviewed, I think, the top 10 IMDb films. Like, we counted
them down.
Yeah,
I think
that
was me and you, Jamie.
And it was, and I really enjoyed that, Isaac.
I did.
It's the first time I did this where I took an extended review of one of the things we talked about. And I kind of wish I'd done that more, but we had to just get more and more structured as the show progressed. Good episode, that.
Yeah, it was.
I did for the sake of listeners, I took the Dark Knight discussion and uploaded it.
What made you want to extend it? What made you want to?
I think we decided we had like a really solid discussion on it.
Apart from just saying I love it, like, what is there anything I said in particular or talked about?
I didn't get a chance to re-listen, although I listened to the first bit, as you can see in the image, and I did this pat myself on the back, but I put the Dark Knight theme at the start of the thing, which is genius. Yep, thank you.
One thing I'll say about that style of show that I like is I like being sort of assigned something to watch.
Yeah.
So when you have like an IMDb top 10, you know, okay, I've got to watch these 10 films and remember everything I can about them for the show. So like when we did the Paul Thomas Anderson episode, I really enjoyed that because it's sort of like setting aside three films I hadn't seen before. You could talk about it retrospectively, as in all things considered, afterwards. So sort of if you take in mind its critical reception, how people perceive it now, its award reception at a time, everything like that. And then judge it currently based on just one watching, like on DVD or something. Then I think that's always a fun way to review films.
That's a very good lead-in, Joseph, because I want to talk about our specials that we've done next. And we're going to do that after the hypothetical break, which I don't know if we're going to have. And welcome back. so we've done a lot of specials, like the IMDb one. I like the top 10 of the decade. Or we also did, I think, favourite films of all time. I believe. No, directors. We did the directors special.
Directors. We did the directors in two different sections. So we did favourites and the best. Because when we did the actors one, we sort of like, there were some biases involved then. Looking at no one in picture. for who we put on the best list. So we could sort of like separate the two and have talk about our favourites and talk that aren't necessarily the best, and then ones that we think that are the best working to the.
I really regret not being able to be on that episode. That would have been really fun. Best actors and actresses working there.
It's sort of similar to what we're doing now, which is why I like it, which is like the conversation style. Who would you have said, Ben?
For actresses or actors? Yeah.
Whoever comes to mind, like what would you really want to talk about?
Putting me on the spot here. But I think there are a couple names that I felt were missed out. So I would have put Mahershala Ali as one of the best actors working today. I mentioned a few. I definitely said in either way I would put Saoirse Ronan as sort of best actress working today, because I think she is undoubtedly. And I think there were a couple other names that I put on the group chat afterwards, but I forget them now. But that would definitely have been a show that I would have like prepped for, because I think I just really like listing things.
Yeah, same.
Like, or just comparing.
You should work or watch Mojo, Ben.
Right, honestly. that's all I used to ever watch on YouTube, just watch Mojo.
Back in 2013, they used to pop off, yeah.
And then I'd pretend to be surprised about what came up at the topic that I knew what it would be. Like, oh my god, yes, that's the best.
I sort of started to go off from a bit just because I did start to see a lot of the same patterns emerging.
Yeah, because the people said they ran out of ideas in 2015, and now they're still uploading 5 videos a day. Like, how?
I think
it's a good way.
How many portrays are there?
It's a good way of finding new stuff to watch, though, for sure. Because if you like a certain actor, I remember watching the Paul Rudd top 10 performances from him back in the day. That was like uploading that 2013. And I just watched all of those films because I like Paul Rudd at the time. Oh, and you see so many more interesting films because of that.
It was kind of interesting also because like videos from top. I remember they did like underrated horror and they put like Possession really high on the list and they called it Suspiria on acid. And I'm like, that's the wrong description of the movie, but I'm happy you mentioned it. Or like when they did like it was like top 10 underrated movies of like 2017 or underseen, and they put Lady Bird, Lost City of Z, Good Time, like they put all of my favorite films on it, and it was just like, oh, I'm happy you guys are talking about movies of love. But yeah, they are quite a bit, they are more meme than channel at this point.
I just found the list that I made like on the group chat for best actors and actresses. I have like some of the names I really want to mention now. So Frances McDormand, Jennifer Lawrence, Bella Davis, Marion Cotillard, and then for actors, Willem Dafoe for sure.
Yeah.
Christoph Waltz is still working today, right? Because I haven't seen him
in
a while.
Yeah.
He pops up and stuff.
He doesn't appear in the greatest stuff now.
Mm.
Big Eyes was the last thing I saw him in.
But yeah, those are some of the names that, and then I thought about it after we did the director's show, but I think I mentioned him as an honorable mention, but I've just been rewatching a lot of his stuff recently, and I really love Mike Mills. And he's, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
And he's certainly another one of my favorites that I wish I sort of gave a bigger shout out to. I rewatched Beginners recently, and I really love that film. And
I'm not a big fan of Beginners.
You're not?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. It's just a bit meh for me. It just doesn't do a lot. Which is weird because I knew good things about like Christopher Plummer's performance and stuff. It just didn't do a lot for me.
Speaking of listing things, Ben, that's why I did the genre challenge like a month ago, where I had, I think it was Isaac versus Joseph in listing off for each of the categories. I had them list off the best movie they could recommend. But Ben and Lizzie wasn't on that show.
No, we weren't.
Are you going to ask us what we would have put now?
I don't know. I don't know how much time we have. So is there any of the categories on there you really want to recommend a film of? And I'll let you know if they said it or not.
Well, Isaac, does Paris, Texas count as a Wild West?
I would consider it a Western. Well, a modern Western, neo-Western, I would consider it. Because it is, it's not just because it's set in Texas and California, but like thematically, it's actually very much like The Searchers or something, but told in a modern context. So yeah, if someone said it was a Western, I'd say, sure, you know.
I'll probably put Paris, Texas somewhere in there.
Can we include neo-Westerns in the Wild West?
Yeah, because Paris, Texas counts as one.
I would say Hell or High Water then, for sure. That's such a good film. And the script for that is really understated, but really, really works. And I think it's fantastic. So I'd definitely say Hell or High Water.
I'm trying to remember who won for the Wild West section.
No, I did. I said
Hell or High Water. Yeah.
That's what everyone said for space opera. I'm so fascinated by that.
I took Star Wars. I stole that. So that kind of left them in a bad position.
No, I said Flash Gordon because I knew you would say Star Wars. It was too easy.
Yeah.
Joseph said Alien.
Yeah, I'd forfeit that one. Exactly, I'd forfeit.
Oh, yeah, it's
not my summer at all.
But when I saw this, the first thing I thought of was the Fifth Element, which is not necessarily an amazing film.
Space opera.
I'd say that's a really fun film. And when I think space opera, I mean, it does have opera in space in it, literally. Yeah. I don't know, that's the first thing I see when I see space opera.
That must have been deliberate, right?
Yeah, it must be, yeah.
I think also, I've lost it now.
Opera for me would probably be 2001.
Yeah, that's
a good call, actually. Yeah,
yeah, because that has literal operatic music in it, and very grand.
That's probably the only one I've seen in general, other than the Star Wars film.
Have you seen Interstellar?
Interstellar, yeah, that's not space opera, surely.
No, I wouldn't say that's space opera.
No, that's space opera.
I do
opera refers to like a very traditional style of genre, I think, which is why Interstellar doesn't count.
But I wouldn't have said 2001 because I really struggle with that film.
Yeah, it's you
appreciate how good it is, but it's so boring.
It is boring.
People don't tell you how boring it is. Like, there's good bits of it, but it's sort of like the good bits are like half an hour. It's like two hours 45 minutes.
I think like the thing I really say about 2001 is that the film Moon is basically just the most interesting part of 2001 in a way, in that it's like, you know, can you trust this AI, you know, on your own in an isolated space area in, you know, space. So just kind of watch Moon instead, if you want like the short version of interesting film 2001.
The thing about Moon is
no more space films, please.
No more
space films in the autumn. Because there's always that one the past few years is like in autumn or winter you get like that big, you know, like sci-fi film.
So if we don't mind Spaceman, but
it would be the removal of space films.
Oh, actually, I do need to go back. I do need to say something really important. I go back. That's not the episode I regret not doing. It's the Star Wars episode. That's the second one I regret not doing. The first, and this is all my own fault, before lockdown in cinemas, like in February, the Prince Charles Cinema were doing the Jellicle Ball for Cats, and I knew it was happening, and I didn't get the tickets on time. So if I had, like, you know, actually, you know, got them like when they released, I could have easily have gone to London, seen Cats, and then my idea was to describe what it was like watching Cats in that experience on the show, and I regret I'll never be able to do that, well, not for a very long time at least, you know. But even if it's 5 years, I'll come back and say, no one will remember.
Yeah,
we didn't get like an episode where we actually straight up talked about Cats the film, which is probably for the best. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, it would just be me on my own, just like talking to myself like I'm on a deserted island.
I don't think any of us have even seen it.
A lot of clips of it. Too many clips of it. Speaking of First Man, I'd be remiss to not give a shout out to the Silver Screen who came on to do that with us and have come on a couple of times.
Yeah. So shout that was a good show though.
It's always very interesting when we have a guest come on. Oh, we had people come on. Was it from the UN, Feminist Society?
Yeah, Women's Society. That was Portrait of a Lady on Fire and when Harry Met Sally.
And Lizzie was supposed to host that one, but wasn't able to.
No, that's the one I regret. I wasn't able to come on, and I missed that show.
A great episode.
That's when coronavirus was starting to like really hit, and we're like, and we're, Lizzie took the you did the right thing, Lizzie, to say I'm not going to come in.
Which episode did you miss? Well,
to be honest, if that was the last show ever before coronavirus, I was probably packing my flat to go home. So I think that's probably why I didn't come on.
Fair enough.
Didn't you miss a show because of coronavirus, Isaac?
That was the Tom Hanks episode.
Oh, yeah, that was me. That was when I panicked.
I'll tell you what. The Tom Hanks episode is the one that I wish more people were on for.
Yeah. Because
I thought that was a fantastic
episode. Yeah, I wish. I regret it.
We also reviewed Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which is one of my favorite films of that year. And one of my favorite films that we've done on the show. So that would have been really nice if more people had been on.
I apologize, Jason.
And a good thing about that episode was that we had really good interaction with the audience as well, because a lot of people entered the competition that week.
Yeah, a lot of people
got my tickets. So we got some really good discussions about what people's favorite Tom Hanks films were.
That was the question.
That's always a good thing to talk about other people's opinions on the show as well.
People just wanted to see Tom Hanks. We should talk about him more.
Yeah, he doesn't get talked about enough.
The audience the most annoying thing about coronavirus from like a content. Hello?
You're going on.
Oh, yes, I'm just getting echo back. The most annoying thing about coronavirus in terms of content is we don't get the audience interaction anymore because we don't have the tickets.
Yeah.
And we got some really interesting answers in.
Yeah, we had good answers for when we did the Uncut Gems and Lighthouse episode as well. When we had sort of like what people's favourite career comebacks were, we had some really good different answers for that. And because the thing was, with a lot of the audience responses on that show, was a lot of ones that we didn't think about. So, you know, because we have very, you know, limited knowledge, you know, we know that. So it always helps to have different voices on board.
I've put two pictures in the group chat of two of the seasonal episodes we did, which I really enjoyed doing. I really enjoyed that kind of special episode. So I've got the Christmas one we did last year, where we talked about our favourite Christmas films. And I've got an example of one of the Facebook posts for Halloween.
That's Dolomite Is My Name, right?
Yeah, we did Dolomite as the main film, and we did Halloween, the film.
I don't remember who said it, but I think it was Joe who was talking about potentially Eddie Murphy getting was it you, Joe, that talked about award recognition for him?
Yeah, he got nominated for Golden Globe. That was sort of it. That should have had better campaigns for it. Because costumes.
Yeah.
It was stupid. How does it not get costumes? Costumes are unreal in Dolomite. It would have been nice but I think it was quite a strong year for comedy acts. I think Taron Egerton won that year for Rocket Man. So,
I really like Dolomite. Like, I know on the show I said it was really good, but I think I like it more. Like, I think because when someone did a best of end of year list on like another YouTube channel, they put it on there and it's saying in comparison to Disaster Artist, you know, which you could say
is similar. It's very similar to Disaster Artist. Yeah.
And I know this sounds weird, but not a better film because, you know, better acting or better writing, but because. Like I think it shows a more positive outlook on filmmaking. Like, even though the show's like, you know, the issues that surround it, it's not like this sort of, I don't know what you would call it, but like, I don't know, the toxicity. Like, even though, yeah, and I think there's a great, someone pointed out that the line in Dolomite Is My Name, which kind of describes Rudy Ray Moore's character, like, even if, you know, what was the line? It's like, if I have to make the if crew get hungry, I'll make the sandwiches. And I think that's a really great line to summarize that character in comparison to, like, you know, James Franco's portrayal of somebody who's so very selfish and very kind of, you know, sort of egotistical. So I think that I feel like that more film more now, sort of on a conceptual level.
No, but to be fair, I still prefer Disaster Artist. I think that's probably one of my favorite cinema experiences of all time. So
yeah,
the Quad Cinema in Derby, which is the best cinema in the Midlands if you get a chance to go to. And
Broadway.
No, trust me. Quad Derby is fantastic. There's this. They have this screen called The Box, and they have like settees, and you can have wine or whatever.
Oh, that's
nice. I got a full settee to myself, front row. It's fantastic. And we saw Disaster Artist, and I just loved it. So, and Disaster Artist is on Netflix now as well. So please check that out.
Quick question: What was everyone's favorite movie going experience this year? Like actually going to the theaters.
Oh well,
this year
so much to choose from.
I think mine was going to see Emma, just because I went with a load of because I'm in the English department, I went with a load of like romanticists who all had very high expectations for Emma, and they all loved it, which was a relief, I think. But there were about 20 of us that just all went to go see Emma, and I think that was really good. And similarly to kind of Little Women as well, I think both of those films, maybe I like Little Women even more. I think Little Women and Emma as well, they had such a humour about them that was so infectious to each audience that I went to go see them with, and I just had the absolute best time watching them. It's really great when you come and feel that warmth in the cinema with you from all the people there, and both of those films were that kind of experience.
I think for me, again, it's Equal Trip, Lady on Fire, not because, again, it was the last film I saw before lockdown, but I, like, with the mate who I that I went with, like, in a Broadway film quiz, I won a free ticket, and I could see anything I wanted, you know, completely for free. And I gave the ticket to my mate, and they rarely go to the cinema. Like, they love cinema, but they rarely go to it. So they got to go, and they love the film as much as me. So it was a great experience, really. One of many best Broadway experiences.
Mm. I went to see Knives Out with Francis. Oh, and that was good. That was great. Oh,
that was a great series experience. That was 2019. But
Joker, actually, Jenny.
Pardon?
I thought you'd say Joker.
I guess I went back home with some friends from school, but I knew a lot about it at that point. So even though it was still surprised, like, I didn't feel like it was enhanced by the cinema experience.
Yeah, I was glad I saw Joker on my own, to be honest, at home. But I saw all my films in cinema alone anyway. So
I think, in terms of like home, I guess we don't. The thing about that is we don't have much choice now. All the latest movie experiences will be from home, but it does have its benefits. Like it can be a lot more comfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know if you
I enjoyed watching Ford vs Ferrari on my own at home. I'm glad I didn't see that in cinemas. Because you sort of like get to experience it one-on-one when you're just at home. Rather than think about everything else going on and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. I should tell you guys. I have like a wall behind my monitor of cinema tickets. And going backwards, it's 1917... Jojo Rabbit, Knives Out, and then Le Mans 66 before that.
1917 is a good example of a film that, was completely enhanced by being a cinematic experience. Like, I think not necessarily the visuals, but because of the sound. I think the sound is so important. Because I saw that in X Plus, which is the IMAX in Showcase. And I think the difference, the screen didn't make too much difference, that being bigger. But with the sound, it's like elevated so much because they have the Dolby Atmos sound there.
You kind of feel trapped.
It's unreal. It's so important. It's so integral to the story, both the music to sweep along with you as you watch camera movements, and the massive like mass sound effects, because it's a very quiet bang kind of drama to it.
Fun fact: the earliest ticket on the wall is Logan. So that's when I started. I kind of wish I had more. I have like 10.
That's one of the only movies I almost cried at was Logan, especially the ending.
Speaking of endings, thank you, Isaac. You're always good at signing off. If you guys would like to scroll up, I've put in a outtake into the group chat.
I already listened.
Yeah,
to
you
it.
Already know what this is.
Yeah,
so I'm just.
Was that an outtake? Okay, it is an outtake. Yeah, it's an outtake, baby.
I'm gonna play it now. You. So if you guys want to listen as well. Thank you guys for joining us today, and thank you all for listening for this two-parter directorial special.
Cheers.
And now I've stopped recording.
A director's cut, if you will, damn it.
Classic Isaac.
Oh, no.
I really wish I'd collected more outtakes throughout the year, because I was going to do a highlight reel of them. But here's another one. I'm going to play it now. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you very much, Jamie.
Thank you.
Stay safe out there.
Oh, sorry, Isaac. Not again.
I love one of my favorite moments, I think, on the film show. It's not like cutting me off, it wasn't even cutting off after, but during the show, because like like, I think it was when we were reviewing Knives Out, and I was basically, I said that, like, the little kid who, that little kid who I just said is, like, basically the amalgamation of every person who hated The Last Jedi. And Jamie was giving, like, almost like, expression, like, oh, don't talk about that, don't talk about that. Like, move your hand when you, like, when you go like that, like, cut. I love that. Like, I should have, like, gone one step ahead. I was like, no, he's amalgamation of every person who hated The Last Jedi and Ben Shapiro. So, to me.
So, Isaac. Do you want to, without interruption, do you want to sign off this episode?
Yeah. Venom. Venom.
Go for a take two on that.
Venom. Get him. Venom. Let him. Venom.
All right. I guess not. Thank you all for listening.
They're delaying Venom, so I can't make fun of it.
Venom 2.
Bye, everybody.